Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Locker,
I need a coffee.
We have a competition to win tonight, but you can't be yawning. You look exhausted.
I was trying to carb up earlier, so I think I'm crashing.
Locker and I are going up against Justin Wheels from our sister station Z95 tonight. If you're in Regina, you want to hang out with us, you can at the Joanne Goulet Golf Course, the driving range in particular. Happy Gilmore is being released. Happy Gilmore 2 is being released tonight.
It's on Netflix. The trainer looks good. Are you excited about it? Because
I'm staying up till 2 a.m. to watch this thing.
That's the least surprising thing I've heard today.
Now, I stay up till 2 a.m. most nights. But anyways.
What you're saying, sleep is the enemy or the bedfellow of death or something?
Oh, who said that this week?
Luke!
Luke Wilson!
And then you were like, that's my...
He's my spirit animal. Luke is... He said death is the... Sleep is the cousin of death.
Yes, that's what it was.
It's like, yeah! Darn right. But you're the guy who gets way more sleep and you're yawning. We have a competition to win.
I shouldn't have eaten all the carbs. Like I was trying to bulk up for this.
So it's the Happy Gilmore Drive Contest. You run up to the ball, you give it a hit. Everybody who shows up and takes a swing gets entered to win a Happy Gilmore Boston jersey and also longest drive woman, longest drive man.
They're putting my name on that trophy, by the way.
They have trophies, retro trophies. They're epically retro golf trophies. I want to win one of those so bad.
So the way we're doing it with Wheels and Justin and Wheels, so we're going to do five. And then we're going to take our best, your best, my best, add it up. Wheels' best, Justin's best, add it up. And whoever has the most yardage.
You practiced, so we're going to win.
I have a, I'm going out on a limb right now. I'm telling you and everybody that we're going to win by 100-plus yards.
Well, I saw Wheels practicing, and that's...
It might be 200.
He might not get it.
Ball off the tee. He hit a foot and a half behind the ball.
He's going to break a club tonight, isn't he?
See the sparks fly off?
Joanne Goulet Golf Course, driving range tonight, 6:30 to 7:30.
Get the latest news on your team from the Green Zone.
The Daily Blitz with Brittany Gray.
Hi, Brittany. How are you today?
Oh, not bad.
How's Cody Fajardo?
It's great.
You got to talk with Cody. He's starting against his old team for the first time in 3 years. Was he happy?
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't you be happy? You're starting a football game. For him, it's about starting a game more than anything. Let's be honest. He did admit if this was a couple years ago when he first left, it would probably feel different. But he's had success elsewhere. He's a Grey Cup champion, Grey Cup MVP. But loves coming back here because Saskatchewan, a special place in his heart. And for his family, this is where... His son was born. He said
he was born here. Yeah.
He told his wife, "I'm in our son's hometown again." So, great homecoming for him, I think.
Is he the type of player, personality wise? And I know you don't hang out with him on the weekends, but you get a good sense of because you hung around with him as a member of the media. Is he the type of guy that could get rattled by
Locker chanting Cody all night?
Yeah, can we get under his skin?
I'm not sure anymore. If you would have, he admitted he's grown since he's been in Saskatchewan. There were some dark days. I think back in the day, it might have rattled him a little bit more. But as mentioned, he's gone through it. He's gone through the adversity. He's won a Grey Cup now. And I just don't think you can do it as maybe you thought you maybe could have with what we saw from Cody, because he's grown as a person, as a quarterback, from the experiences he had here.
We're going to hear from Cody Fajardo in just a minute. Britton's cut up some of the interview. We're going to hear from Cody. But the bigger question for this game, why did they make this move so early? Why have they already benched Trey Ford after just five games when they anointed him the franchise quarterback this offseason?
Mark Killam said it's the simple answer. They need a spark. They're 1-4. You better believe that there's pressure to win there. On Mark Killam, the staff, that organization, there's pressure to win. They have new ownership there. They need to find ways to win. I know it's early, but you have to look at it as a whole with what that organization's dealt with for years. It just feels like, as Dave Naylor has mentioned, Cody Fajardo would have won the contest outright in training camp. Cody Fajardo mentioned that when he was told earlier this week on day A, which is the day they had after their bye week before first full week, turned into an open competition. That's why there was the reps here and there, open competition throughout the week. Cody won this one. So that's why Trey Ford, you want to see more from him. You need to see the development at some point. It's pro football. You have to be out there and winning these battles. You can't just keep getting given the reins because you're anointed as the one everyone wants to see.
We went back and looked at numbers for Elks games 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
And compared them to now.
Well, when I covered the Elks, well, it was someone posted today, the anniversary or was around this time where the Riders went to Edmonton and there were 60,000 people.
Yeah.
60,000 people.
They're lucky to get 20 now.
It's ugly.
Lucky.
They need wins. They got to
do so. They're in desperation mode, which begs the question: should we be worried about this team? Like
you two are both worried about. I'm
picking the Riders
18 win for the Riders.
I'm picking the Riders to win, but I am. It's a cautious pick.
It should be cautious, Jamie. How long have you covered this team and? These sorts of weeks are ones that the Riders just let slip away,
Jamie,
from him.
How long?
With a lot of variables. There's a lot of interesting things.
Not as long as Daryl.
A lot of interesting things at play this week that make you wonder if it might be a weird one.
Get last year out of your head. This is a different animal.
Toronto are 1-5. Ottawa's 1-6. Edmonton is 1-4. My goodness, they have to win. They have to. If there's
32-18, 32-18, Riders win 32-18.
What did I wrote mine down.
Do I have to say the G word to convince people?
I'm not. I don't want to coax you.
Put it on the board.
Would you rather put it on the board than G word?
Write the G word on the board, Jamie.
Nobody in this province wants me to utter the G word. Nobody who's listening.
Yeah, at all. The board doesn't have the same power as the G word. You could put it on the board if you want. I got 28-13 for the Riders.
That's a huge win.
I know, you're all concerned,
and you're picking a 13-point win?
Yeah. I like the math.
I don't like your logic, but okay. Oh, we should be concerned. They're going to win by 13. That is... Oh, but anyways, let's go over to the Riders' side. Not a lot of roster changes. We know Kadeem Carey's out for the season. Mario Anderson Jr. is back, but we found out today what's going on with Zach Fry. He is out of the lineup this week. All of a sudden, shocking to everybody. Then he walked by me today, and I'm like, he's got a black eye. Like, he looked beat up. And Corey Mace Britton told us what?
He was in a motor vehicle accident over the weekend, I believe it was earlier in the week. And he practiced, and then the head stuff kind of came with the practicing, so... They're being safe with it. This comes from the fact I think they do have a lot of faith in Noah Zaire, who is going in for him, mm-hmm. because Noah Zaire did have to start games last year for them. He's been in the system, someone they know. And I mean, you talk about a roller coaster of a season. Noah Zaire got cut in training camp, gets brought back because of the injury to Sean McEwen. Here he is starting. You never know when these opportunities will come.
Was it an airbag thing? Do you know any of the details on the. Because those airbags.
He had a black eye.
Yeah, he had a black eye. I was like,
I bet you. I bet if he bumped into somebody and the airbag went off.
And right when he walked by, I saw him and I was like, I wonder if he got in a car accident. Just.
And Corey Mace confirmed that.
Yeah. He did. Well, so.
Glad he's okay.
That is. Mm-hmm. It's good news that he's okay.
Yeah.
But unfortunate situation as the Riders will move up. Noah Zaire. And then, of course, Braden Knoll comes in as the sixth offensive lineman. But as I talked to Logan Ferland today, I said, should we just stop really worrying about the offensive line? He's like, we're prepared, man. We get these guys ready. Like, it's the expectation in the room. If you are not in, you are taking mental reps behind the guy. If you're behind the guy, you better be ready in this group. That's the standard. Edwin Harrison and I think Logan Ferland and Jamarcus Hardrick are holding everybody to, and that's why this offensive line is just rolls.
And
because of that expectation.
And comparatively speaking, with the other eight teams in the league, how does the Riders' depth stack up? Are we seeing a deeper team than other teams in the CFL, Britton?
Well, they're up to 9 already. 9 different starters along the offensive line. I don't know anyone who's dug that deep. There's offensive line injuries, but you've noticed some of them when the starter goes out. You haven't noticed it really with the Riders. There's the odd snap here or there where it looks like, yeah, the guy got beat. He hasn't had a lot of experience, but the group just keeps on trucking.
Nice. And we'll see how it goes up against the Edmonton Elks. But coming up next, Cody Fajardo. How's he feeling about coming home to Saskatchewan? This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Well, for the first time since he left in 2022, Cody Fajardo will play in Regina in front of you, the fans that used to cheer him and then probably boot him off the field a couple of times, on Friday night. Here's Cody Fajardo on getting the start and being back in Saskatchewan.
A few years later, but here you go to take on the Riders at Mosaic Stadium. How are you feeling ahead of this one?
Yeah, I'm excited. Just excited to get my first start for the year and play with a bunch of guys that I got a lot of respect for. But if this was my first year coming out of Sask playing in Mosaic, it might mean a little bit different. But I'm with 5 teams, had a 9-team league. Everybody's public enemy number one. So it's going to be a little bit special. I've been telling people all week, Sask has a soft spot in my heart. My son was born here as the first team to, you know, give me my franchise start, my first opportunity. So I'll always have a soft spot in my heart, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to try any harder. You know, every game, it doesn't matter who's lining up across from us, I'm going to try as hard as we can to win the football game.
I was wondering if the fact that it's been a few years now that there's maybe not as much animosity or anything towards the club.
No, there's been a lot of change with them as well, right? And so it's just different team, different club since I've been here. I think what helps too is going off to Montreal, having success there, winning a cup. You know, I was able to do some things that I wish I was able to do here for this fan base who deserves a great cup, just how rabid they are and how excited they are about football. But overall, you know, if I was in a time machine, it was first year out of Sask, it might have meant a little bit more. But anytime you take the field, you want to represent the name on the front and the name on the back of your jersey. And so I want to do everything I can to help this team try and win a football game.
Was it tough to miss those games, though, against the Riders?
Yeah, you know, it's always weird. And I just felt like that's just so CFL, you know, it's just so CFL for that to happen. And then here we are, you know, 2 years, 3 years removed, getting my first start of the year against Sask. So it's crazy how God works. He's got a master plan, and I'm just part of that master plan.
What do you expect from the fan base and the reception when you take the field?
That'd be a good question. Last time they did a pretty cool tribute for me when I was here with Montreal, so that, you know, obviously was warming for me. But there'll be some Fajardo jersey, I think, in the stands, and I think there'll be some people wearing Fajardo jerseys that will be booing me, which will be pretty interesting. But it's always a great atmosphere, and I've been on the winning side of it, and I've been in that green. Now I'm in a different green now, and so I just have a lot of good memories in that stadium, and there's a lot of nostalgia just being here, and a lot of things that my family was a part of, and like I said, my son being here. So just excited for the opportunity to play some football with these guys.
Yeah, Cody Fajardo, he is back. Will you be chanting Cody, though, tomorrow? Corey Mace. I brought it up to Corey Mace. I said, you were with Henry when he came here. Would you like to see that kind of fandom? And he said, yes, please. If they want to bring the heat like they did to Henry on Cody, he'd love that. So we'll see if there's Cody chance tomorrow at Mosaic Stadium. It was funny when Corey said, yeah, I remember that. And we'd all look at Henry going, what did you do to these people? How much heat he got when he came into Calgary or came into Saskatchewan as a member of the
Burris
stand.
He ate it up, though. He loved it.
He did. So, Cody, tomorrow, as the starting quarterback of the Elks against the Riders.
My name is Happy Gilmore. 30 years ago, I decided to give golf a try.
But even when you're at the top of your game, you can always shank one.
Yes, Happy Gilmore 2. Sorry if I frightened anybody. Happy Gilmore 2 tonight, overnight tonight on Netflix.
I'm going to watch it.
Tonight?
I don't think I'll watch it tonight.
No.
I'll be
you
watching.
You want to have a viewing party?
No.
Popcorn?
No. You need a lot less sleep than I do. I need a good 8, 7 or 8.
8?
What do you live on? Be honest.
Operative.
What's your average?
A night? Now, what includes is, does it include the time when I fall asleep putting the kids to sleep? And I like sit down and I wake up an hour later and then.
Yes.
So that counts?
That counts, yes.
6 hours?
Well, that's not that. So you average 6 hours a night?
Most often, yeah. There are other times where not so much.
There are days you
But
walk.
You're yawning today, and I'm not, so I don't know what that's about.
That was the food. I was carving up for the competition.
8 hours? Really?
7 or 8, yeah.
Is that what it's like to not have kids in the house anymore?
Oh, it's glorious. I love my kids.
So, tonight.
I love that they're not home anymore.
In about an hour, Locker and I are heading over to the Joanne Goulet golf course to meet our acquaintances, Justin and Wheels from Z99. We're going to have a little battle, but you're invited. Come hang out with us. You can win prizes as well. A Happy Gilmore Boston jersey for everybody who shows up tonight and swings a club. And, of course, some retro trophies that I think Justin picked up. But we were talking to Justin and Wheels earlier if they're nervous to go up against us in a one-on-one green zone Zed competition.
The balance between the two of us trying to take you two on is going to be it's going to be difficult.
Well, I saw the teaser video. It looks like, Wheels, you suck at this.
You guys, you get all your bad hits out in practice. I'm saving the good ones for tonight. Relax. Locker, you've already been at the driving range practicing your Happy Gilmore swings for this?
I went and bought a small bucket of balls. I put 10 aside because there were still people on the driving range. I didn't want to look like a complete tool. So I hit some shots. And
you
then
practiced?
I practiced. Because I've only ever done this once, and I was intoxicated when I did it, so I wasn't sure if I'd be able to hit the ball. So I went out, and I out of the 10,
you
I only missed the ball
this?
Once.
I'm not practicing. I'm going to just show up, beat y'all with one swing probably is all I need.
I had one out of the 10 where I was like, I should almost work on this because I hit it like 350 yards.
So you got some retro trophies.
We got retro trophies, which men's and women's categories here.
Yes.
So top, longest. I'm bringing out TrackMan Light, I'm going to call it. It's going to track the distances of how far we're hitting it. Plus, everybody who comes gets entered to win an authentic Happy Gilmore Boston jersey.
Oh, nice. So that's Joanne Goulet Golf Course. That's in Regina, 6:30 to 7:30 tonight.
Yep.
Right? 6:30, 7:30, Joanne Goulet.
Open to everyone. It's free. Bring your own driver. I have a couple of spares, but we may go through them quickly based on the kind of swings that we're making here. Grab a drink on your way past the clubhouse. Walk out to the driving range. We'll see you there.
Hold on. You guys are going to walk out of here and not challenge us to a bet? Like, put your money where your mouth is, gentlemen.
You guys think you actually can beat us, though?
This is Happy Gilmore Golf. You're a great golfer, Jamie and I. This is baseball golf. We're not losing.
I played baseball my whole life.
Yeah, but you're old. Remember, it doesn't work like that.
What are we betting?
Well, I think we got to do another booze bet, like Wheels and
you and me,
and
Jamie.
Locker.
We don't really do the glutens, so ciders for us.
Absolutely. Magners, let's go.
Okay, the ciders. Good stuff, and then Wheels and Locker, it's beers for you guys.
Wheels knows what beer to buy me.
He owes me some Rebellion IPA, so bring them back, Locker.
All right, the combined longest drives from each of us, what are we saying, 5 each? We take the best one out of 5?
Sure, whatever. I only need probably 1 or 2.
We'll take it.
No.
He's no, maximum 5. 2 for Jamie, 5 for Locker, 5 for each of us, Wheels. Let's
no,
get
I'm
done.
Still doing 5, but I'll only need, it'll probably be my second one will be my farthest.
Combined out of 5 is good.
Combined.
I like that.
Okay.
All right. Good luck. And
Can't wait.
Don't hurt yourself, guys.
Can't wait.
Better wrap
size.
Your ankle again, Wheels.
Oh, the trash talk is could get interesting tonight.
He was texting the show all day today, too.
Wheels,
yeah.
Good. That means he's not getting his afternoon nap in, so he'll be exhausted too tonight. So see you there, Joanne Goulet, 6:30 to 7:30. We better get in the car pretty soon here to get there in time, Locker, to be quite honest. Meanwhile, the Blue Jays are blowing it against the Detroit Tigers. It's 1-0 right now for the Tigers as the Blue Jays, what is it, an 8-game road trip they're about to head out on.
Well, this is four
in Detroit.
This is four against Detroit in Detroit.
Meanwhile, big story today in hockey. The NHL has already come down and said, as they are still going to review the court ruling today, all five World Junior players found not guilty, but the NHL saying they're not allowed to play until we review everything.
Actually, can you read the statement from the NHL? I'm very surprised. When you said earlier today that you thought that they would make a statement right away, I was surprised. I thought they would try to let the dust settle on this.
The NHL says they're ineligible to play while it reviews the case. Allegations in this case were disturbing, even if not determined criminal. Also calling the behavior unacceptable. But what do you think, hockey fans? Should they let them back in? Dennis, what do you think?
They should absolutely be able to come back. Number one, I don't know why Gary's such a hypocrite when it was perfectly okay to let Stan Bowman and Joel Quenneville back in the league. Number one, those guys, if it was good enough for a judge and they were found innocent, and in her ruling she said that she said that she was a liar, and furthermore, she should have to pay Carter Hart's lost wages, his legal fees, and she should have to give the $3.55 million in
scrimma. That's not how it works, Dennis. That's not how it works. A civil case has a lower standard than a criminal case. That's not how it works. Like, Dennis, read a book on how a court works. That's not how it works. A civil case was Hockey Canada is having a settlement.
She didn't want this to go to... This ended up being, and I said this earlier, and we'll repeat it again, because there is a perception that EM, is what they're calling her, she wanted this to get more money out of the players. That's not what happened.
She couldn't get more money out
of it. No.
She couldn't. They had already reached the settlement.
This wasn't about money. This was... The reason why this ended up back in court was because it got out that Hockey Canada was using funds from registration fees from kids to pad a slush fund to pay sexual assault victims. And this isn't the first case. There are multiple cases. And when that got unearthed, they started to dig, and then they found out about EM. They found out about how the London Police Department handled this, and a bunch of people lost their jobs. And then the courts moved this back into trial, which is probably what should have happened originally. And anyway, that's what happened with this. It wasn't her going, I'm going to see if I can get more money out of these guys and bring this back to court.
No.
That's not what happened. And I think with people who are just following along casually may not know a lot. This is a bizarre case. This is very bizarre. Not just because of the circumstances, but because of how this whole thing.
Well, even within this case,
yes,
they had a jury, and then one of the defense lawyers said something to a jury member at a market for lunch, and the jury member came back and said, the defense lawyer said this to me, and it was like, mistrial. Okay, bring all the jurors back.
Then the jurors
were walking in, and they were like noticing that they felt like the defense lawyers were like mocking them and like judging them or something, like snickering and pointing over at the jury.
Then the
members.
Judge took it over.
So they went, okay, the jury's not feeling good. And the judge just had enough. They're like, we're not doing this again. And it got an agreement with the lawyers that it could be judge alone. Because
putting everybody through the whole thing again, too. Right?
Because EM that was had already testified or was testifying already when that other, and it was like, are we going to have
bring her
go
back.
Through again?
Yeah.
So.
Can I read some of these texts?
Yeah, absolutely. Read some texts before we go, because I know there's a lot of them and a lot of well thought out on both sides. Let them play and keep them out of the league.
Well, and I'd also like to thank people, because I was on Twitter earlier, and I shouldn't have done that because I was really bothered by some of the stuff that was happening in that cesspool. But we've had some actually some decent comments today on the text line. So this is from Dean in Saskatoon. I believe six young people made really bad choices that night. They shouldn't be held hostage by their poor choices that were made. I would say that they should be given a chance based on the not guilty verdict. This one is from Sarah in Saskatoon. I agree with the verdict. I think every GM is going to hang back and see just how viral this verdict goes. What's the level of hysteria? How many outrageous protests there are, et cetera, et cetera. The GMs are running a business. I think they'll be smart enough about their individual brands before rushing out to sign one of these players. Is that the right or wrong approach? Question mark. Unfortunately, we don't always address that in today's world. So that's interesting from Sarah, right? Anyone, because she's looking at the business side of it, which I appreciated. This
well,
one's from
Steve. That's part of the reality of the, and she's spot on.
Right.
The general managers and the presidents and the owners of the teams going, hold on, you want to sign, let's just say Carter Hart?
Yeah.
Let's run through this and what we might face here.
Well,
and is he worth the headache?
And Sarah, you're bang on. You are bang on that they are going to sit down and talk about the fact that, you know, that this is in the public, it's now become the court of public opinion. Anyone with morals aren't hiring these guys. Some things are more important than winning. That's from Steve. This one agreed with the NHL, not criminal, still means sleaze balls. That's from Duffy. Clearly they were in the wrong. Like Mike Duffy, clearly in the wrong. That's from Nick, and that's based on the NHL statement. We got
the
that
NHL said unacceptable. That. This behavior is unacceptable. Was from the NHL today already.
Can I read this one as well?
One more
from Trevor. Let he who has never sinned throw the first stone. Not cool what they did, but thank God I didn't lose my ability to make a living based on the crap I did when I was 19. So that's another angle to look at it. Do we hold these kids accountable for their actions that night at such an age, at a young age, and then they are never allowed to make money again? So I mean, it's another way of looking at it, Trevor.
1-877-332-8255. We'll probably save some more texts and read them again tomorrow because I don't think this story's going away anytime soon.
We got hundreds of texts. I just sort of grabbed a handful that represented, you know, a couple of different sides.
Coming up next, Champs and Chumps here on the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
You two are winners, big winners.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on. You're smashing.
You tried your best. And you failed miserably.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
You're an idiot.
You're a bad person.
Each and every day, one champ, one chump. The chump is going to go with sports bettors. Maybe not you, but if you're a sports bettor who are harassing players for not coming through for your bet, too bad, so sad. This is the Major League Baseball commissioner met with Red Sox players and Lucas Giolito. Let him know that there are family members. He is getting threats when a player doesn't perform well. Threats to their family. Threats to their life. And he goes, I'm getting messages after I pitch well where they're mad at me because I hit the strikeout over instead of being the under.
This is sick on where this is going. Some might suggest it's a disease.
Meanwhile, the champ was the chump, but now they're a champ because they reversed the ridiculous. A New Jersey Little Leaguer was suspended and banned for a state tournament and a game because he flipped his bat after hitting a home run, a game-winning home run. And they came with the appeal, and they've allowed him to play again.
Is that a thing? You're not allowed to flip your...
Well, they say it's unsportsmanlike, and they do not support horseplay for the Little League governing body rule that, We upheld it. It was horseplay. It was unsportsmanlike.
He's so excited. Do
you know what the family
did? Game-ridden
game. This is great. Brilliant from what the family did. The family found all the tweets from the Little League World Series
in which they were showing kids flipping the bat and the announcers celebrating their celebration going, really? You don't support this? It's all over your social media of this kid flipping a bat. So good on the family for fighting it, getting that kid. He'll be allowed to play, and I hope he goes to the Little League World Series and flips a bat out of the damn building.